If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Jude, we continue our study of this short little book, the book of Jude. The easiest way to find it is to find the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible and turn one page forward. It is right before the book of Revelation. Keep your hand here. It is my text, and as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Jude, verses 4 through 16. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Now, I desire to remind you, though you know all these things once for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. The angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of that great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example and undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars, from whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly, of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. They are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage." Let's pray. Lord, this is a graphic and gruesome passage. Lord, we remind ourselves as we read these words that they're inspired scripture, that you saw fit to put them in the Bible, in the canon of Scripture. Jude says, "I wanted to write about something else, but I felt instead that I needed to write about this." Lord, there is a somber lesson to be learned here. So God, I pray that you would help us to not be so quick to say, "Oh, that's horrible," or "Hey, that's not me," or "Why do we talk about these things?" God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would apply these to our hearts and speak to the needs of these in our congregation, Lord, including myself. So, Lord, open our eyes, I pray, to the truth of your Scripture. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my title for the series is The Acts of the Apostates. Now, you can't help but notice that the words apostle and apostate are very similar. They are similar words with very opposite meanings. The words apostle and apostate both come from the same Greek root meaning to send. But they point in opposite spiritual directions. An apostle, from apostolos, is one who is sent by God with a message, faithful, commissioned, and obedient. In contrast, an apostate, from apostates, is one who turns away and departs from the truth, rebellious, unfaithful, and disobedient. Though they share a common linguistic origin, the apostle is sent by God to proclaim the gospel, while the apostate departs from God by rejecting it. Let me read that again. Though they share a similar linguistic origin, apostle, apostate, the apostle is sent by God to proclaim the gospel, while the apostate departs from God by rejecting it. This morning we're going to look at the destruction that comes from following your lust. The destruction that comes from following your lust. Apostates, which literally means fallen away, spread apostasy by teaching falsehood. These false teachers are the ones that Jude is referring to in his letter. Look at verse 4. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. It is these men, in verse 4, that Jude is talking about in the rest of this passage. Look at verse 8. Yet in the same way, these men, all right, what men? The ones that had crept into the church unnoticed, okay? Look at verse 10. But these men revile the things they do not understand. These men, these persons in verse 4. Verse 12, these are the men, all right? Verse 14, it was about these men. So it's these men, these apostates, these false teachers who had crept in unawares that he is focusing on, that he is denouncing. Now, I will add, it's not just men. They could be women also. But this is who he is going to describe and liken to in the rest of this passage. What do they do? They teach contrary to the faith once delivered to the saints. Verse 3, the last part. Appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once handed down to the saints. So they teach contrary to that faith. Okay, these false teachers will face judgment for their denial of truth. Verse 11, woe to them. Okay, for they have gone the way of Cain, for they have rushed headlong to the heir of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Look at verse 15. Talking about the Lord in verse 14. The Lord execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So these false teachers will face judgment for their denial of truth. They illustrate the destruction that comes from following your lust. Look at verse 16. These are grumblers, finding fault, falling after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Jude's message to us this morning is you do not want to follow in their path. You do not want to follow in their path. And he's going to show us the destruction that comes from following your lust. First of all, what apostates get for following their lust? What happens to these who deny the faith, who follow their own ideas, follow their own desires? What do they get? Well, this passage is, as I said, very graphic in its condemnation. Verse 4, you notice the word marked out for this condemnation. Verse 5, you see the word destruction or destroyed. Verse 6, you see the word judgment. Verse 7, you see the word punishment of eternal fire. Verse 9, you see a railing judgment. Verse 10, again, the word, by these things they are destroyed. Verse 11, and perished. Verse 13, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Verse 15, to execute judgment. He couldn't be more specific about what comes from denying the faith, of following after your own heart, your own lusts, rather than that faith once delivered for the saints. He's going to display for us the destruction that comes from following your lust. Now, the Bible, of course, refers to the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping is inescapable. What you sow, you will reap. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now you'll notice that eternal life is put there in opposition to corruption. So in other words, the corruption is eternal death. All right? So it's eternal death. Those who sow in the Spirit reap eternal life. So corruption is the opposite of eternal life. And this is what Jude is saying here. All these, he'll mention some from the Old Testament, but he's talking about these men who were alive during Jude's day and who persist in our day, okay, who sow this discord, who sow this false teaching, who sow to the flesh, they will reap what they sow. And an apostate's ultimate end is hell. Again, look at verse 13. They're wild waves of the sea and casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Look at verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken about them. Look at verse 6. And the angels did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of that great day. So he could not be more clear of what awaits apostates, what awaits those who leave the faith, those who deny the faith, those who teach falsehood and teach another way of salvation. Apostates reap destruction for following after their own lust. Now, what he does here is he gives us some examples from history, from the Old Testament, that demonstrate this tragic end. All right? So not only would the apostates that he's addressing in his letter eventually demonstrate the end, he goes back to the Old Testament to show past apostates and what they reaped. Look at verse 5. Now I desire to remind you, now notice this phrase, though you know all things once for all. Now you notice that mirrors what we saw in verse 3 at the end, the faith which was delivered once for all. So he's saying, listen, I'm going to use these illustrations from the Old Testament and you should know these. Okay? You should be familiar with these. We need to know our Bibles. We need to know the faith that's once delivered. That was the apostate's problem. Verse 10, but these men revile the things which they do not understand. All right, they ignored the truth of God's word. But he says, you should know these things. And he gives some examples from the Old Testament that they were aware of. Verse 5, for I desire to remind you, though you know all these things once for all, that the Lord, having saved people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently, I'm sorry, why I'm struggling with that word, I don't know why. destroy those who did not believe. All right, so he refers to the unbelieving Jews after the Exodus. It's mind-boggling that God rescued them from Egypt and delivered them from slavery. And what did they want to do? They wanted to go back. Numbers 11. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we used to eat free in Egypt, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics, but now our appetite is gone. They actually wanted to go back into Egypt. They forgot that they lived in slavery and how cruel their masters were. They no longer believed in the goodness of God. They no longer accepted God's provision for them. Yes, they were at the time sick of manna. They said, well, we'd rather go back to Egypt and be a slave than to eat any more of this manna. They were unbelieving. And, of course, as you know, they perished in the wanderings, in the wilderness wanderings, because they did not believe in the goodness of God. They'd rather go back to slavery. But, as I said, notice the reference, again, to the Scriptures. Just as you know this once for all. Look down at verse 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles. So they knew, they had the Old Testament. We, of course, have both the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's a reference to the New Testament. But we ought to know these things. You need to know your Bible. So when you read this passage and it mentions the unbelieving Jews, or it mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, or it mentions Balaam or Cain, we should know these things. That's on us to know our Bible. These things were written for our instruction. 1 Corinthians 10. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, and they were laid low in the wilderness. Talk about the unbelieving Jews. Now, these things happen as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved, nor grumble as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. And the destroyer there is actually God, because of their lack of faith and their grumbling and wanting to go back. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our own instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Faith or belief must be personal. They, the unbelieving Jews, perished. Just because their parents even had been brought out of slavery, they did not accept it. They were not saved because their parents were. Faith is personal. Well, verse 6, he mentions the angels who fell. The angels who fell. 2 Peter chapter 2 and 3 and 2 Timothy are very similar to chapter 4, are very similar to Jude. Keep your hand here and go to 2 Peter 2. That's just a few pages towards the front. I want you to notice the similarities between what Peter's writing here and what Jude has written. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness, reserved for judgment, And he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by destruction, by reducing them to ashes, having made them example of those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, which was what Sodom and Gomorrah were. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation, and to keep the righteous under and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. So again, a clear distinction between the ungodly and the godly. The ungodly ends in destruction, the godly ends in salvation. Now, you go to go back to Jude. So he mentions the unbelieving Jews coming out of Egypt. He mentions the angels who rebelled. Okay, they followed Lucifer. They left their domain. He mentions Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as though of these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example of in undergoing the punishment of eternal life. Now, you could read about Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. The passage here is graphic. It's talking about going after strange flesh, gross immorality. You know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know why God destroyed it. Ezekiel 16 refers to what they were doing as detestable things. Leviticus 18:22 calls homosexuality an abomination. But it's not just, it's any inordinate sexual activity following after strange flesh. Okay. There's a punishment, a price that will be paid for that. So Sodom and Gomorrah's defilement is an example of those who follow after their lust and the end and the destruction that comes. The angels are an example of that. The unbelieving Jews are an example of that. Then we get to verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Again, you need to know your Bible. What happened to Cain and Abel? Well, Cain rejected God's way of forgiveness. God had established that the sacrifice for sin required a blood sacrifice. And we see that when he slew the animals to cover Adam and Eve when they had sinned. Abel brought that sacrifice. Cain did not. Cain rejected God's way of forgiveness. He tried to make a sin offering of his own choice. And of course, he was banished for his sin. Verse 11 also mentions Balaam. I love the story of Balaam. It's in Numbers chapter 22. Balaam's an interesting character. He sold out for money. Balaam sold out for money. Balaam was not Jewish. He was a prophet. And Israel's enemies came to Balaam and said, "We want you to curse Israel." Balaam went to the Lord, said, "They want me to curse." God said, "Do not curse whom I have blessed." So Balaam said, "I can't do it." They continued to do it. They offered him money. They offered him more money. Eventually, even though he knew what God said, he took the money and cursed Israel. He sold out for money. Verse 11 mentions Korah. There are several Korahs in the Old Testament. This is the one this is not the one that's related to the book of Psalms. But Korah, who rebelled against God's mediator, we read that in number 16, where Moses was the mediator and people had to come to Moses. And Korah said, "We don't need to come to Moses. We can go directly to God. But Moses was a foreshadowing of Christ, our mediator. And he and his followers rebelled against God, and God opened the earth and swallowed them up. So past apostates demonstrate this tragic end of following their lust. And the same lust motivate apostates today. Look at 1 John. Again, just a few pages towards the front. 1 John 2. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So, again, even to this day, the world works the same way. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of pride, not from the Father, but from this world. So we go back to Jude, and we see that the same lust motivate apostates today. This lust for self-righteousness, that was Cain's problem. He thought he could appease God in his own way, that he could find, he would deserve forgiveness in his own way, instead of the sacrifice that God demanded. And again, Korah said, we don't need a mediator. I can go directly to God, but of course, we know that our way to God is through Jesus Christ. But there's always been a group, and there still are people who deny the need for the gospel and the sacrifice of Christ. The cross has always been offensive to the self-righteous. The lust for sexual gratification, like in Sodom. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Again, that is primarily sexual sin, inordinate affection of any kind, including pornography, is included in that word. This lust leads to destruction. It's incompatible with Christianity. So there's the lust of self-righteousness, there's the lust of sexual gratification, there's the lust for money and dishonest gain. Balaam demonstrates that back in Jude. We see it in verse 16, Jude 16. These are grumblers, finding fault, following their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. They sell out to get an advantage. 2 Timothy 3:2. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Hebrews 13, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with all that you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Don't let money trip you up. Don't follow that down that path. It leads to destruction, as does inordinate affection of sexual gratification or this lust for self-righteousness. The love of money is one of the warnings given about the qualifications for pastors and elders. They must be free from the love of money. And deacons, not fond of dishonest gain. And lastly, we see what these men do to Christianity. When these men creep in unawares and deny the faith once delivered to the saints and try to pervert the gospel. What do they do? Well, look at 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn their ears away from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. They'd rather have myths than truth. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as they will be false teachers among you, who will secretly induce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by destruction, by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. Look at chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust. Now go back to Jude. These false teachers, they make a mockery of the faith once delivered to the saints. They revile the things that they don't understand. They're like unreasoning animals. Verses 12 and 13, they're phonies. While trying to destroy the faith, they actually destroy themselves. There are places that call themselves churches that aren't churches. There are pastors who call themselves pastors who aren't pastors. There are people who call themselves Christians who are not Christians. Don't be tempted to follow the apostates. Know your scripture. Know your Bible. Don't take my word for it. It's up to you to know truth. Knowing scripture allows us to recognize false teachers. Avoid the sins they promote. Don't follow your lust. Submit to God's authority rather than asserting your own. Let's pray. Lord, the scary part of the book of Jude is that these people had crept in unawares, that they had talked their way into the church. They had talked their way into leadership, Lord. They talked their way into to teaching, but they don't teach truth. And it's up to us to know truth from falsehood, truth from error. Lord, again, we should not be dependent upon man's philosophy. What does Scripture say? And Jude very clearly warns that wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. But help us to know Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by Him. Lord, keep us mindful of the destruction that comes from following the world, following our lust, following our desires. Help us to follow Jesus, I pray. Amen.